Over 2 million people in the world have multiple sclerosis, or MS, a chronic and often disabling neurological disease. Those who are most commonly diagnosed with the disease are in their 20s or 30s, and more than half of them will suffer long-term disability. So far, there is no proven cause and no cure. World MS Day is marked on May the 26th each year, with thousands of initiatives taking place around the world to raise awareness of this crippling disease. Pierre Barnacé is Chief Executive of the Multiple Sclerosis International Federation, and he spoke to me about how it is trying to raise awareness of the disease among the wider public.
Most people with MS and their families say that there is not enough awareness of MS. They find in their daily life, if they wobble, say, people are surprised. If they are tired at work, people don't understand. So there are two things. Both, there isn't enough awareness of MS, and there isn't enough awareness of what the disease and what the condition actually implies. What we are trying to do around the world is that we help our organizations to create that awareness. And that's why we have started now World MS Day. This was the second year we did it. And around the world, the organizations are supporting each other in creating that awareness. And one example, for example, is we've made a film which can be used all over the world. We've translated it in many different versions, been on TV in Germany. It is something which we can do to create that awareness.
You talked there about people not knowing what it means to have the disease. I mean, what does it imply? Can you tell us some of the, you know, major impacts?
Yes, in the film, we speak about MS has 1,000 faces. So when you get diagnosed with MS, you actually don't know what's going to happen. And so one of the elements which is really testing is that you don't know. It's the uncertainty of what it will bring. And what it could bring is that you could get symptoms in your eye, that your eyesight becomes blurred. You could lose some sensitivity in your fingers. You could have bladder problems. And 60% of people who get diagnosed will not be able to walk unaided, so in a normal way, let's say 20 years after they have been diagnosed. So it's a wide range of things because it affects your nervous system. And the nerves go anywhere, so it could affect nearly anything in the functioning of your body.
Do you find there's quite a lot of misunderstanding then, that some people perhaps believe it's like a slow death sentence, but that's not necessarily the case, is it? Because my mother's cousin had it. She was diagnosed in her late 20s and she lived until she was 80.
That is absolutely right. It's not a slow death sentence. It can, in some cases, be severe because it can affect many things and it can lead to an earlier death. But on the whole, it's certainly not a slow death sentence. I mean, the average lifespan of people with MS will be somewhat shorter than of other people. But it's not that you should expect you get diagnosed with MS and in 2, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you die. No, it is a developing disease. And one of the characteristics of the major form of the disease is that it goes up and down. So you get a period, which you call a relapse, where you have some of those symptoms and they may go away. And they may be away for a while. And so since some 10 years, there are actually medicines which help dampen down those relapses a bit. But there is still no cure. And we actually also don't know what causes MS. So there is a lot of need for research to be done.
Barnacé's own father had MS, and for him, one of the most difficult aspects of the disease was discovering he had to give up a much-loved sport.
Perhaps the most important thing he had to give up was living a very active life. I'm Dutch, and he just loved skating. When winter came, he would get itchy. And so my memories actually are of him losing his balance on his skates. And skating is like dancing. It is something that, if you like it and you do it, it is very important. He couldn't do that anymore. That kind of thing, that was very tough. The other thing was that sense of your hope going up and your hope going down, the uncertainty. That was very, very hard for him.
What did your father find were the reactions of other people, and what do you find when people come face to face with somebody with MS?
Many of your reactions are fantastic. There are many people who would be helpful, sit in your wheelchair and they help. But then there are also people who don't understand or feel apprehensive. or who, when you're walking, most people with MS are not sitting in a wheelchair. That's only maybe later on. But they may think you're drunk, for example, because they don't realize that you're wobbling. That's not because you're drunk. It's because you have a condition. So that's why it is so important that we have this World MS Day and that we create that awareness around the world, that we talk about it openly, and that we're open to, for example, also discuss it with employers. The theme of this World MS Day is about employment.
In fact, how difficult is it for somebody with MS to hold down a job?
The difficulty people with MS have in holding down a job will depend on how the condition develops. We have done a global survey, it's the first global survey on employment and MS. And out of that, we found that from all the people who replied, we had some 8,000 up to now, some 60% of those people were still in employment. But they had to adjust. Many of them, for example, had to take short breaks. Some had to have long breaks. So it depended on how flexible and understanding their employer was. So 40% roughly of those people who replied to our survey were out of work, and nearly half of them stopped work 3 years after they were diagnosed. So that's a large number of people. So our conclusion is that there are many things that can be done to help people stay in work. In certain countries, you have to just increase very basic things, access, transport. In Britain, that might be okay. But for example, we got replies from Russia, where that is seen as a major, major problem. Other things which have to do with the disease, for example, bladder control for a percentage of people, that is an issue. Now, in some countries, there just aren't the right tools and the right provisions to have that under control. Then it obviously becomes a problem with work as well. Also, people have fatigue with MS. And I know that that was one of the reasons why my father had to give up work. He just could not manage that anymore.
But as I went on to find out, some people who have MS don't let that get them down, sometimes in the most literal sense of the word.
Now, I gather that amongst all the pictures of the activities that were organised around the world, fundraising initiatives to mark MS Day, there's a picture of a lady who I gather has been diagnosed with MS, and she's standing at the top of Mount Everest. So, I mean, that must be a very inspirational example for all.
She is an inspiration to all people with MS. She indeed climbed Mount Everest. We learned of her going there just a few weeks before she was meant to go up. So actually, the flag which she holds got to her by yak train. So it's quite something on the back of animals. And she brought it back to us. It hangs behind my desk in my office, that very flag. She spoke about her having difficulty of taking each step going up to the top of Mount Everest because of lack of oxygen and everything. And she said, I'm thinking of all those other people with MS who in their daily life need to think of each step to get to the kitchen. And she's been a true inspiration. Her big thing is, look, you got to live, you got to conquer your fear and live your life to the full. And that's what she's doing.
That was Pia Barnicke, head of the MS International Federation. What's it actually like to live with MS? And what are some of the most difficult things about having this incurable disease? One MS sufferer who knows the answer to that question, but who was determined not to let MS take over her life, is Marlo Donato Parmalee. Born in New York, but now living in London, Marlo works as a manager for a fashion company and is also an enthusiastic musician. She was diagnosed with MS at the age of 32 and recently published a book entitled Awkward Bitch, My Life with MS, in which she talks with humour and candour about how she has managed to adjust to the constraints of this disease. She began by telling me how she was first diagnosed with MS.
From the first symptom, it took a little under 7 months to get diagnosed with MS. The first symptom that arose was very, very slight double vision and optic neuritis and numbness in my toe. However, I didn't connect the numbness in the toe, so I didn't even tell the doctor at that time. So when it first arose, they thought I perhaps had some type of virus. it did go away, and then 3 months later, it came back much more severe. And they did start asking me, did I have numbness at the hospital, all the doctors. And when I said that my toes were numb, then they decided to do an urgent MRI. And from the MRI, then they could see the lesions.
Living with MS, what are some of the things you've had to give up? I mean, what were the hardest aspects of coming to terms of living with this disease?
I think one of the hardest aspects of living with the disease is fatigue. For me, I find fatigue to be one of the most debilitating aspects of the disease.
How severe is this fatigue? I mean, basically, when it strikes, do you have to lie down and rest? You simply can't do anything else.
When this kind of fatigue strikes, it is the kind of fatigue that feels like you have been awake for 4 days and have not slept, and you must lie down immediately. It's actually hard to keep my eyes open when it does occur.
And how often does it occur, or is it completely random?
I find fatigue with MS occurs all the time. When I was working 5 days a week, by the fifth day of work, I absolutely couldn't pick my head up off the pillow. I mean, I would work, but I would come home and not be able to make dinner. I would actually fall onto the floor when I would come in the door. And many times on a Friday night, I couldn't get my clothes off, even to change into pajamas. So it's that kind of horrible feeling of malaise that just doesn't go away. You can have weeks and or months where it doesn't occur, but for me, I find it's constant.
How do you find other people's reactions to the disease? Is there a lot of, ignorance about what it means?
I think a lot of people think that they know what MS is, but are quite surprised to find out the exact symptoms, especially when someone such as myself is not using a stick or a wheelchair to get around. And I get the reaction that many people with MS get, which is, but you look so well.
You had a book published in 2009 entitled Awkward Bitch, My Life with MS. What was the main message you were trying to get across in this book?
The main message of my book, Awkward Bitch, My Life with MS, is hope. That is the main message. No matter what happens in your life, I do believe that you can persevere. I think what we have to realize in our lives, no matter what happens, we are constantly changing and evolving. And the book is really about a metamorphosis of myself, the awkward bitch. And awkward bitch is actually a superhero. And so it is about metamorphosis into something better, to something that you never realized you could be.
So you find it's helped you to grow as a person. It's helped you perhaps to become more caring and understanding of others when they have difficulties. You know, how has it changed your character in concrete terms?
It sounds strange at first, but MS has helped me to become a much better person. It has opened up my eyes to so many things. I have this heightened sense of when people are in need, when I'm just walking down the street. I used to walk down the street quite fast and I'd say, oh, people are very slow in front of me. But now I look at people and I think, you know, maybe someone can't see, maybe someone needs assistance. I have this awareness that I didn't have. Also, I think because I do live with so much pain, particularly in my eyes and my face, that it also gives me a heightened awareness of pain that people could be in. And it has made me a much more sensitive person, just as a human being, and also in my workplace as a manager.
Coming back to your book, what kind of feedback have you got from readers who read your book?
I am overwhelmed with the amount of positive feedback that I've gotten from the book. I get emails every single day from people who have read the book who have MS and also people who don't have MS. The people who have MS are thankful that someone has verbalized the way they have been feeling, sometimes for many, many years. And almost always they tell me that they've given it to their mother or their sister or a friend so that that person can now read it and understand a little bit more about them. I also get many emails from people who don't have MS thanking me because because they now have a better understanding of how someone they know feels. I also have gotten feedback from people who don't know anyone with MS and who have read it, and it's just opened up their eyes. And it has also been a very fast and wonderful read for them. There's a lot of emotion in it, ranging from hysterical laughter to full-out crying. So it is written, it is my story, but it is written as a story.
Did it take you a long time to come to terms with the fact that you had a disease that was incurable and chronic?
I think it took me a relatively long time to come to terms with having a disease that's incurable and chronic. When I first heard the word incurable, it did have quite an effect on me. And it was very depressing, of course, to hear that you have an incurable disease or condition. I think after the first year, I thought I had come to terms with it, but I actually hadn't. And I went through another emotional roller coaster. I would say it probably took me 2 solid years to come to terms with it. But even saying that, it's been 6 years. And sometimes now I wake up and I think, can't believe I have MS. So it might be an ongoing process.
Now, I understand that you're a musician by training and you also have a day job as a manager for a fashion company. How do you manage to carry on these two activities despite having MS?
I am involved in many, many activities. I've always been the kind of person who, as people say, burns the candle at both ends. So because, of course, fatigue is a problem, what I do is take naps. Even when I'm at work, I will take a 20 to 40-minute nap. Even if I don't feel exhausted, I do it because I know I will feel better for it later. And it's the only way I can continue to do so many activities. I think also what keeps me going is getting these emails from people and the positive feedback I get even from my colleagues at work. I think a lot of positive energy is what keeps me going. You know, sometimes your energy, if it can't come physically, I think it has to come spiritually.
And when it comes to your love for music, how do you manage to carry that on?
Well, I've always written music, and it actually gives me energy. It makes me feel so much better. Even if I just come home and I'm very tired from a day's work, I pick up the guitar and start playing, or I just start singing, I feel so much better. And I think there is something, again, spiritual about music, and I feel very strongly that music is, you know, it's such a spiritual language, and it's a universal language. And I think when you sing in particular, it just lifts your spirit.
So just to sum up, what would be the message you would be giving to anybody who's listening to this who may suffer from MS or know somebody who suffers from MS or even to the general wider public?
I think my main message is that there is always hope. And I have had relapses that have been bad, and I've thought, how will I live to see tomorrow, you know, with so much pain and it just seems so dismal. But you can have a better day, a better week, a better year. You just have to persevere and find strength within yourself and just tell yourself you can do it, you can live your life. It might not be the life you thought it would be, but it can actually be an even better, more fulfilling life.
I was speaking to Marlo Donato Parmalee, who suffers from multiple sclerosis.